My sister was telling me a story about our last episode when she was listening to it.
Yeah.
Our last episode on Vrillin. Vrillin? Was that his name? Vrillin? Vrillian? Vrillin? And the broadcast interruption.
Yeah. Did she get contacted?
Yeah, apparently we freaked her out multiple times because at one point her AirPods stopped working and were like buzzing in and out midway
Yeah.
through the episode. And she thought it was like something that we edited in, but it was her headphones. And then again at the very end when I actually did edit in something to the episode,
Yeah.
it confused her even more. So that's good. I mean, it wasn't, we didn't edit it. That was Verlin.
Yeah, oh yeah.
What
I
am I
we don't know
saying?
how that happened.
No.
Was she satisfied with my answering of the question?
Of you, why do you hate every movie?
Yeah. Why do I hate everything?
Yeah, she was.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I'm very interested to hear your thoughts on today's movie, because I watched it with my wife Monique,
Yeah.
and halfway through it, she was like, "I really don't see Hamish like in this movie." So I'm really looking forward to having a conversation about it.
It's interesting that I don't know that you guys know what movies I'm likely to not to like and not like. I feel like I always feel like I'm surprised sometimes by the movies that I do like and
Yeah.
the ones that I don't like.
Well, we'll see if
Not
this is
always,
a
but
surprise or a
yeah.
or not. Did you watch it with Abby?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, should we just get into it?
Yeah.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Collectania of Everything. Season 2, Episode 3?
Season 2, Episode
Yeah.
3. That sounds about right.
I think so. I guess our first episode from the new format where we watched a movie that you guys voted on
Yeah.
between The Artist and Nightcrawler. Nightcrawler won by quite a bit,
Yeah.
which I was a little sad about because I have seen this movie before. It watched it ages ago. I bought it on Blu-ray, haven't touched it for years, so I was excited to revisit it. But I was also excited at the possibility of watching The Artist, so I'll still give it a watch
I
sometime.
think maybe we should archive The Artist and
Yeah.
then maybe like
Bring it back up.
at some point we could maybe have like a vote for all the movies that didn't get viewed in the year. What movie
That's a
we're gonna
good idea.
watch.
I like it.
Yeah,
I
I
like
don't
it.
know. Love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, we'll
Anyone who's
see.
listening.
First off,
It's not a Marvel superhero
not
movie.
the X-Men Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
But before we
It's
even
my
get
first
into
critiquing of
your
it.
first
Nah,
critique, should have been a
joking.
Marvel
No,
movie.
it shouldn't have. There's too many of them.
But before we even get into Nightcrawler stuff, what are you drinking, dude?
I'm drinking something from your fridge. I don't
Yeah,
know. Tell me what
we
it
had a vast
is.
array of drinks
It's
because we'd just done the
just
groceries.
Coca-Cola. Well, vanilla Coca-Cola. Vanilla Coke.
That sounded like you were going to go into like a breakdown of the ingredients, like Coca-Cola, a little bit of vanilla, vanilla
Yeah.
Coke. Nice. I'm drinking a Spates Old Dark. I've been liking my dark beer recently.
Really?
Yeah,
Hmm.
quite good. It feels like forever since we've done this, but it's only been the 2 weeks. I guess us sticking with our new schedule now. It's been working out well. But
Yeah.
have you gone up to much in the break we've had?
In the break.
That's a 2 week break.
Oh, let me think. I don't think much has changed since last time we talked. I mentioned last time I watched or was watching Hitmonkey, right?
Yeah, did you finish
Yeah,
that?
we finished it. It's
Nice.
still, I think I would definitely rate it above any other Marvel TV show I've
Flip, even
watched.
the live action stuff.
Yep.
Wow, okay.
That's the ones I'm talking
Even
about.
Nightcrawler.
I don't know, you'll have to see.
Better than the Marvel movie Nightcrawler. Okay, we'll see.
Yeah, I think we just sort of, now that we've finished that, we've sort of picked it back up again, slowly trudging through X-Files again.
Nice.
I'll eventually get there.
Yeah, to be honest, we have been on break from watching that, me and my sister as well. So when you get back into it, you'll probably catch up in no time.
Yeah,
Let's do a big
well, I
X-Files
think we're in
wrap up.
season four now or something.
Okay, we're eight, so
Oh,
might
okay.
be a little bit. I've been watching a bit. I've been still trudging my way through all the Oscar nominees for this year. I've hit the things that aren't available in New Zealand yet,
Yeah.
or the documentaries that I've been putting off watching, which I need to start doing, because some of them are supposed to be real good, so I'll need to pick those up. Also, we've still been watching our way through, me and Monique, the Marvel Netflix shows. So the Daredevil, we finished Daredevil season one, finished Jessica Jones season one, we're nearly finished Daredevil season two, but it was just announced that all of those are leaving Netflix at the end of February.
To go over to Marvel, Disney.
Yeah, apparently, but Disney hasn't like announced anything, so...
Those are Netflix originals, aren't they?
Yeah, so it's interesting. But we're just trying to finish this season of Daredevil before it might disappear into the ether for who knows how long before it hops onto Disney Plus. So we're doing that. And I'm continuing on from potentially something that was mentioned in the first or second episode of Call It Tone of Everything, the Tremors franchise.
Really?
Just before you came, I finished Tremors 5. I watched it with dinner tonight.
How many more to go?
Two more to go.
My goodness.
Yep, I've got the next one rented. The last one stars John Heder from Napoleon Dynamite fame.
Okay.
So, yeah, two more. But yeah, Tremors. Not a great franchise.
No, I wouldn't think it would be. I'm surprised gems, it has but... that many... Yeah. That many movies.
They're all like
going to Sharknado next.
I don't know.
What about gaming for you? Because I feel like I'm still playing the same games as last time.
Me and you are pretty much playing the same stuff, like with you, with the exception of Pokemon. I mean, we've been playing a bit of Monster Hunter, playing a bit of Gwent, the Witcher card game, which has been fun. We also picked up Lost Ark earlier this week, a new like MMO RPG, which has been all right.
Yeah, that's all right. It's a free game, so can't really complain too much.
Not super engaging, but it's very like easy to just play.
I started playing another game, actually.
Ooh.
Warhammer Total War or something like that. Is the name like that? Something like
it's
that.
It's like based off the Warhammer board game?
I don't think so. So I really need to figure out this, because I played like... Is it Warhammer, like 30,000 or Warhammer? Something like that. It's like a brand name almost.
Yeah.
And they put it on a lot of games. It's on a lot of games. Like, I think Dawn of War used to be, I think, is in the same category, I think.
Mm.
Anyway, I don't know. I need to do my research into it. But I always recognize the name. And I always recognized Warhammer to be, from my childhood growing up, to be associated with video games. But anytime I talk to anyone about it now...
Yeah,
they talk about like, oh, that D&D, you know, tabletop
RPG
game. Yeah,
because I was on under the assumption it was just a role-playing game.
Is Warhammer the role-playing game? Is that like a sci-fi based one?
I think less sci-fi and like post-apocalyptic with mix.
Okay, because this is full-on like high fantasy kind of.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
With like still with mix and
no.
Oh wow.
No. So I downloaded it because it was only just out, I think. It only just came out, I'm pretty sure. And it was on Game Pass, so I downloaded it to play it. It's a fairly big game. It's sort of set up like you choose a faction you're going to start off with playing through the campaign. And they set it out. It's pretty interesting, the story. I find that really captivating about it.
Mm.
But then the actual game mechanics are so complicated. There's so much things you got to think about. And each time you choose a different faction, there's just a whole bunch of different new things that come into play with each faction you choose. I guess the main draw into for most people is the fact that it's like you have overhead control of like armies during battles and stuff like that. You send your battalions out in different directions or squadrons, and you can choose where they, you know, strategize an entire battle that's playing out in front of you. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, it sounds cool. It's kind of like Age of Empires type.
Yeah, a little bit, but I think a little bit more bigger scale, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's an interesting game, and I found the story quite captivating right from the start. Like, it sort of pulled you in, you understood exactly what was going to be happening, basically, what the story was and everything like that. And I think they did a good job on the world building and everything, but I am picking it up. I was like, I'm a bit confused, because I don't know why I thought it was going to be something that I'd seen before, you know? I thought it was... And I always associate Warcraft with Warhammer for some reason. And I don't think they're... Because that's Blizzard.
Yeah, I think
so. It's like not...
Separate.
It's completely similar separate. Name, I don't know why I've always... I think it's because I played Dawn of War, which I'm pretty sure is Warhammer. And I played Warcraft at the same... And they were, the old Warcrafts were a very similar kind of style game.
These Warhammer games are completely like unknown territory for me. Like I've never even really seen them, let alone played them.
So. Yeah. You ever, because have you played, other than Age of Empires, have you played many like over-the-top strategy battle games?
I got real into Crusader Kings 3.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't work on my PC. Which we still need to play, for some reason.
Which I was thinking about, I had it when I had Xbox Game Pass, but I don't have Game Pass at the moment. But I was thinking actually earlier this week, I saw that the special edition with all the DLCs cheap at the moment on Steam. So I was thinking about picking it back up. But I need to, it's type of game that I enjoy, but I haven't really put much time into.
Yeah, I think it's one of those games that if you play a lot with other people, you have to have other people that enjoy that game for you to be able to, like, because otherwise it's just a game that's going to take you away from playing with other people and you're going to end up just playing the campaign by yourself.
Yeah.
What I did as a kid is I just played skirmishes over and over again, which was just like against the AI kind of thing. And it was just like never ending that, which I never got bored of as a kid, but now it just drive me nuts, I think. But I think we're shifting away from topic quite a bit here.
A little bit.
This always seems to happen.
I mean, yeah, I was going to think of a segue back to Nightcrawler, but this is quite a separate topic.
I need
to check it out. I need to check that game out. We should try to get Crusader Kings working again as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Fun. But we watched Nightcrawler this week. 2014 movie, directed by Dan Gilroy. Nothing at all to do with X-Men or Marvel. And I wrote up a little bit of a like story synopsis. Meet Lou Bloom, a man skilled in online self-help courses who is eager to find his passion and move up the corporate ladder. After learning about stringers or night crawlers, people who are out at all hours of the night capturing footage of violent crime to sell to television news, Lou gets his hands on a video camera of his very own and starts to get in on the action. Soon enough, he's making a name for himself and his company, Video Production News, all while deceiving, manipulating, and exploiting everyone who stands in his way. As the nights continue, lines blur, darkness lingers, and friends turn out only to be gifts that you give yourself. Nightcrawler.
It's a nice little quote from the movie you added in there.
Look at that.
That was probably one of the most messed up parts of the movie, I think. It was that scene where he said that.
I don't really know what it means. Friends are gifts that you give yourself. Kind of just, I mean, you build a connection with someone to get something out of them.
Or yeah, so it's like it's a gift to yourself to like fill a hole in your life, basically.
Yeah.
They're nothing but, I took it to mean this anyway, that what he was meaning is like essentially it's just nothing but something for him to use. It's a gift for himself.
Yeah.
And this, in that scene, you could kind of, it makes more sense when you know what was going on in that scene. Well, should we just start talking?
Yeah, I mean,
we might as well. It's like halfway through the movie.
Let's get into it. I mean, I do have the cast here. So the main players were Louis Bloom, played by Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
Nina Romina, played by Renee Russo. She's like his contact within the broadcast or the news, the television newsroom. Rick, played by Riz Ahmed, who is someone that Lou ends up hiring to drive him around and work with him while he's taking this footage at night. And then Joe Loder, played by...
It's a very, like, used loosely there, I think.
hired him. And then Joe Loder, played by Bill Paxton from... Aliens and Twist of Fame. Aliens. He plays in this, the other kind of a competing Nightcrawler. He's the guy in Aliens who goes, game over, man, game over.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize. Just thinking back, I was like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, he did look familiar.
Yeah, pretty much about Lou starting to get in on the Nightcrawling scene, going around videoing police call outs of random crimes. And then it starts to go a little bit too far when he starts to tamper with them, stage some things himself, starts arriving places before the police do, and the whole situation gets more and more twisted as the movie goes on.
Yeah. So this is it's an interesting movie, I think, and an interesting storyline. Because I find it interesting because it's not like a movie where the story is... You know, so often movies are like something is happening, and the story is about people rising up to do something about it or in response to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, a hero is formed and rises up to defeat the bad guy or something like that, you know? But, like, what I find interesting about this movie is it's everything that happens in the movie is because of him.
Mm.
So it's this main character, nothing much is happening, and then from him essentially progressing throughout the movie, progressing through his own personal goals that he seems to be making up on the fly, you know, just things that he just decides he wants, that is kind of the story.
Yeah.
Everything that's happening, all the people around him reacting to what he's doing, essentially, and everything sort of, everything around him reacting to him and what, and the lengths he's willing to go to get what he wants. So it's interesting because I feel as though I at least don't notice a lot of movies that have a similar kind of story, I guess.
Yeah, it's something I picked up on as well, because we don't really know anything about him. He has no backstory that we get to know at all.
Yeah.
And no real character growth throughout the movie. He pretty much starts this. We see him breaking into somewhere to steal materials to sell.
Yeah.
And then it ends with him just being the old, same old, crazy sleazebag that he was at the start. Like, he doesn't really grow in any way. If anything, he gets...
He adapts.
Yeah.
He doesn't grow. He doesn't improve.
Mm.
He adapts.
Yeah, so it's pretty much just this 2-hour character study that we're just shown of this guy and his actions and what it does, what his actions do to him and his story and exactly what you said, the people around him.
Yeah.
Which is different.
Yeah. So I think there probably are a lot of movies out there that have a similar sort of storyline. Not storyline, but have a similar, I guess, an idea where it's more, well... Whereas more about like a character and their goals, and it's following all their issues that they come across to meet their goals, you know?
Yeah.
And normally in those movies, you know, often you'll find that those movies, that some of the trials that the main character might encounter is when they reach a point where they could achieve what they wanted to throughout the entire movie, but to do so would mean that they would have to do something that was immoral.
Yeah.
And often it's this big struggle, but eventually the character pushes through.
That's the
and
conflict,
they manage
right?
to yeah. either get to the end and find that they're satisfied without having that thing, or they find that they didn't need to compromise to get the thing that they wanted, or the thing that they wanted was actually something else entirely, and they realize at the end. But this, not in the case of this movie.
Yeah.
Do you think of it as being that, but every opportunity the main character got to progress themselves through doing immoral things,
yeah,
they took it.
He takes the chances. He thinks it's almost as if he thinks it's the right thing to do, and it's just...
Yeah. So that was the interesting thing that I was telling you before we're doing a bit of... I did a briefest amount of research on, because as soon as you started watching this and I started seeing... Well, not as soon as, but like... Pretty quickly, I was like, there is something wrong with this dude. it's not just this is a dirtbag, this is a sleazy dude.
Yeah.
There is, I don't know, I was watching and I was like, this is, I don't know if they were, what they were meaning him to be, or what they were meaning for him to represent.
Mm.
But he definitely was not okay in the head.
Yeah.
Like, well, not okay in the head, but he definitely had a different way of thinking about things. He processed things differently, and he responded to things differently to what most of us would, I feel like. And also a remarkably low amount of empathy.
Yeah, that's the big thing, eh?
And my mind instantly went to the sociopath, basically. I was like, not a psychologist at all, don't know much other than what brief, you know, the little blurbs you can read up on Google about it. So I'm not out here being like, oh, you know he's a sociopath, or he's this, or he's that, he's got this wrong with him. But I did do the briefest little bit of Googling on the movie to see if there was actually, if anyone had come out and said, like, or that it was like obvious, like, oh no, he has this wrong with him, that's the point, you know, that's but from what I could tell, with my brief little Google search, they haven't actually said it anywhere that there's, but like that there is something, like he has some kind of psychological disorder or something. But a lot of other people have been searching the same thing.
Oh, really?
About the movie. It seems like it was like I searched it phrased one way, and then all the suggestions were like, you know how you scroll down a bit and there's like similar searches?
Yeah.
They're all like basically the same thing searched like slightly differently or, you know, yeah, more directly, I guess.
It's definitely something to do with like empathy, because it was interesting that every kind of situation or every connection he has with people throughout this,
yeah,
there's no display of empathy from his end. And it's almost, that's the scary part of it, because he's not really, I've kind of thought of this movie as like, I don't know, it just feels like almost like what a monster movie feels like to me.
Yes.
Like you're following just a monster, that's who they are, that's what they do, they don't really change. But the thing that makes, I guess, Lou to me different to your typical monster or a typical even like supervillain,
yeah,
is just that he's just a person who doesn't really have empathy.
Yeah.
And he's able to have connections with people and then manipulate them, get what he wants out of them, climb up above them because he doesn't really care about them or doesn't have that human connection with them.
Yeah.
And it's kind of scary because it is a normal person, but it's kind of like what someone would do if they just didn't have empathy or didn't care about people. Like you can totally see that people out there, I don't know, it's possible, or it's kind of scary because it is like the world we live in. It's just a different way of interacting with people.
Yeah. And it's interesting that you described it as being like a monster movie, because I remember at the end being like, why on earth did they make this movie? What audience were they trying to aim this at? And then I think, because do you know when it was released exactly?
2014.
What the exact date was?
Nah, not too sure.
Because I might have to quickly Google it, I seem to remember seeing that it was in October.
Ah.
And I was like, oh, that makes sense if it was in... I seem to remember thinking, like, oh, it was seen somewhere or something that was in October. And my first thought was like, oh, okay, Halloween movie, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait a minute, this isn't a monster movie. This isn't even a horror.
Nah.
I'm like, why do I feel like it fits in with that then?
I know.
And
it's like, because it's very much like a psychological thriller or even like a crime noir movie. Yeah, it's really interesting.
It says 31st of October 2014, but as soon as I click on that, it takes me to May 1975, when the Nightcrawler was...
Is it like a book?
In the comic.
Ah.
For Nightcrawler, the Marvel movie. Okay. So I'm pretty sure it's October. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, okay, horror movie. That's why they made it. That's what they were aiming for.
Mm.
But then, yeah, that kind of audience, Halloween audience, you know.
It's a dark movie.
It is a dark movie.
Really dark and really like sleazy almost. Not like it's not sleazy in the way that it's heaps of like nudity or it's just all over the place. No. It's just quite graphic.
Yeah.
In the way that it like shows him taking these videos of crimes and dead bodies and stuff. It's real like, yeah, just dark, gritty.
Yeah. Because I don't really, you know, as I said, obviously neither of us are psychologists. Neither of us can really talk much on the matter of sociopaths or anything like that. But the reason why I did a brief a while back trying to figure out, you know, just a bit of like just for myself trying to figure out the difference between a sociopath and a psychopath. And I think there's only minor differences from what I could tell. But I mean, if you talk to a psychologist, they'll probably say there's heaps of things different.
Yeah.
But the things that I could tell, if I remember it correctly, and again, don't take this for fact at all, you know, do your own research, one of the things was that a sociopath can have connections with people. Well, you know, like that does happen. You know, they can make friends and stuff, but then they also are more likely to, or like maybe it's just that they're more aware of this, of them, of themselves, or like how they connect with people. I don't know, but like I think they are more likely to fake, like put on a personality essentially.
Yeah,
make themselves into a more likable person.
Mm.
You know, communicate, which I might be completely wrong there. And also, not just because someone's a sociopath, I just got to put it out there, doesn't mean that they're an evil, nasty person. but it is one of those things that's like it's a scary to think about disorder, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's because of this kind of thing, because of like you always worry about people who can't have empathy for you.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Because of this kind of stuff, because it's like, well, if people don't have empathy, then how, like, what's stopping them from just doing whatever they wanted to get whatever they wanted?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, I'm going off topic. The thing I found interesting, though, was the fact that he didn't actually have much of a personality. He wasn't actually much of, like, he wasn't really a likable person. But when he talked to people,
mm.
he put on this personality. He suddenly was this, he had his big toothy grin, and he talked real, you know, he knew how to talk to people.
Yeah.
And make conversation, even though sometimes it was a bit weird and awkward. He came across not as a loon, you know, not like a scary, crazy person,
mm.
but he came across as just an overly charismatic person.
Yeah. I mean, even...
So it was like almost like the amount of words he spoke covered up, you know, for yeah. him.
What's happening underneath? Even when, like, we're first introduced to him, when he is breaking into a place initially and trying to sell stuff, and he asks someone for a job, and he goes into this really, like, really cool scene when he's trying to sell himself. It's one of the things he learned in his self-help courses, and he's like,
oh, yeah, that's right.
Hey, you need to hire me. I'm a hard worker. I have high goals. I've done this and this, and this is who I am.
I'm looking for a job. In fact, I've made up my mind to find a career that I can learn and grow into. Who am I? I'm a hard worker. I set high goals, and I've been told that I'm persistent. Now, I'm not fooling myself, sir. Having been raised with the self-esteem movement so popular in schools, I used to expect my needs to be considered. But I know that today's work culture no longer caters to the job loyalty that could be promised to earlier generations. What I believe, sir, is that good things come to those who work their asses off, and that people such as yourself who reached the top of the mountain didn't just fall there. My motto is, if you want to win the lottery, you have to make the money to buy a ticket. Did I say that I worked in a garage? So what do you say? I could start tomorrow, or even why not tonight?
No.
And it's really interesting, because I feel like at the start of this movie, he is quite likable. Or I guess you're yeah. seeing kind of what he's portraying to everyone else.
Well, at the start of the movie, you see him in it when he's desperate.
Yeah.
You see him, he needs work, and yeah. he needs money. And you kind of think, okay, he's just stealing scrap metal and things, wire off fences, desperate acts, which makes sense now, because he just doesn't care. Mm. It's not necessarily, it is desperate, but he also doesn't care, he doesn't seem to care all that much that it, of how it looks and how desperate it is. Yeah. He's stealing just scrap metal from anything. Like, I think it was like a security fence for like a train rail.
He's cutting the fence down, and then he's wanting to sell it by the yeah. roll.
Well, he is. He's selling it by the yeah. roll. But then, but yeah, and you could kind of see then, he wants an honest job though.
Mm.
So he's not choosing to do all this stuff. And it's not even horrible crime. It's just desperate crime.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's not choosing this. He's just doing it out of desperation.
Mm.
And so he's trying to get the job. And so you kind of like, you can kind of feel like, likable. You know,
yeah.
He's a little bit likable. He's understandable at that point.
And you're kind of rooting for him a little bit yeah. at that point too. And even like throughout the movie, I found it like he's the character we're following. He's in like every scene of the movie. And there's even times later on when you're kind of like made to root for him a little bit.
Yeah.
When he's in these desperate situations or things might happen to him or not. But then you kind of don't want to root for him. It's this real interesting thing when you kind of know what he is and who he is. But yeah. then through knowing that, you almost connect to the character a little bit.
Yeah.
It's I don't really know how to describe it because he's a terrible dude.
Yeah.
He's terrible and you know that. But I don't know. It might just be because we have empathy and...
yeah,
you kind of see what's going on.
It's an interesting dynamic for it when you're I think for most movies though, I find when you start not liking the character,
mm.
you start not liking the movie anymore.
Yeah,
often.
Was there a, or if you're rooting, did that happen to you in this? Did you?
Well, yes, but then at the same time, you start like rooting for other characters mm. in it. Yeah, I think we could talk about the ending later.
Yeah, we can talk.
But yeah, it definitely got to the point where I was just like, this movie's like horrible. Like this, the character's horrible.
Yeah,
but it's well done.
Yeah.
So I was like, but I was just like, man, like it doesn't leave you feeling good. You're just watching this, and you're just like, oh man, I hope this guy loses. Like I hope he just doesn't. I hope the police find him. You know, find out about it. It's just like, oh man, he's just horrible. And then it just got worse and worse and worse, and it was just like.
Yeah,
so
crazy.
But thinking back, he's not the only person who was a horrible person in that movie.
No.
Like, he's not the only person who, like, I feel like almost on equal parts, the lady at the Nina at the news station, like, she almost has equal amount of blame, I feel
Well, I picked up on that as well, but it almost feels like everyone that he came in contact with or started to have connections with, they would kind of turn a little bit like him. Like, you meet Nina initially, she seems like a nice enough person, just wanting to do her job. But as they have more confrontations and more dialogue between each other, it turns out that he's kind of like starts blackmailing her to get with him, or else he's going to stop selling her his footage. And then you find out that she's pretty much as desperate as he is to keep her job. She doesn't really care about what they're showing the audience on TV. Wants the more graphic, the better. Doesn't really seem to have any of those morals, but she only gets more and more like that.
Yeah.
Where towards the end, she kind of knows what Lou's doing, that he's involved in these terrible things, and she's all right with it.
Yeah, but I feel like for her, in some ways it's worse, because I feel like she probably kind of knows that if he gets caught, at least, like, she's not likely to get in as much trouble as he is. But then, like, everything he's doing is keeping her in a job.
Yeah.
So I think for her, it's kind of a... I don't think she's becoming like him. I think it's more just that in her desperation, to keep her job, because I think they mentioned that she's been fired from several other...
Yeah, he goes off on this, like, talk to her about her job history, and then kind of like what their ratings are doing since he's been giving them footage.
Yeah.
I happen to know that you haven't stayed at one station for longer than 2 years at a time, and you're coming up on 2 years soon. I can imagine that your contract is for that length of time, and that next month's ratings directly affect that.
So you're threatening that if I don't...
I'm negotiating.
You're threatening to stop selling to me.
That's your choice. The true price of any item is what somebody's willing to pay for it. You want something. I want you.
So he knows, he starts manipulating things like hard out, because he knows exactly what pieces he has to play for this, leverage and stuff like that, because he knows that he's the only thing likely to keep her from losing her job is the ratings that he provides, basically his content. And so he just decides that he likes her and he wants to sleep with her, basically.
Yeah.
Or wants to have her as his partner, but partner with benefits, essentially.
And he just says it outright to her as well. Like,
yeah. Outright, but also with a lot more words.
Yeah.
Which is the thing he does a lot. Makes it more disturbing, actually. Yeah. When you see what you sort of start to see, realize with her what exactly he's talking about, because he invites her around for, he invites her out for dinner, and she only goes as a courtesy because of the amount of like content that he brings in for them, and how much money he's making for them and stuff like that. And she even says that near the end, I think. But yeah, it's a very disturbing scene, I think. And that's the scene where that quote comes from. A friend is a gift that you give to yourself. It's what he says to her basically after blackmailing her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Friends don't pressure friends to sleep with them.
Actually, that's not true, Nina. Because as I'm sure you know, a friend is a gift you give yourself.
I found even like separate to that with the character of Rick, the homeless guy who he ends up hiring in like his an internship initially, when he's getting paid $30
a day
for like,
oh my goodness,
working long hours, but then ends up getting more and more involved and ends up going out and actually filming with him. You see him change as well, because he initially starts off as this guy who has some morals or knows what they're doing is slightly wrong. Whereas at the end, he ends up even blackmailing Lou. When Lou's like, I'll give you a pay rise, name a price. He ups his price. And then he starts blackmailing Lou that if he's not getting paid more, if he's not getting paid, they get reward money later on for $50,000. He wants half of that, even more. Russ is going to let the police know.
He had been getting paid $30 a day and he was meant to be having another interview with him about being employed properly and getting proper pay, whilst Lou was getting rich and bought himself like a flash new car and a whole bunch of flash new gear. He was still paying this intern $30 a day whilst keeping the pressure on him to do high performance for him, basically, and make sure that he's never late, and also manning the second camera that he ended up buying.
Yeah,
he's doing next to half of the work. Not quite, because he doesn't handle negotiations for price or anything like that, but he's doing a lot more than just $30 a day.
Yeah,
so Lou is outright just not paying him because he knows that the kid's desperate for money and he hasn't held down a job, you know, since, you know, before this. So as soon as he gives him an opportunity, he doesn't say, hey, I think you deserve this amount of money. He says, name your price for him.
Yeah.
And this caught Rick off guard and he didn't really know how to, what to say. And you could tell he wasn't very confident saying a price. He didn't know. And so he just said, he ended up just saying, he like sort of muttered over a few. Yeah. Like he started off going into high.
Hundreds a bit,
and then he sort of dropped down. He was like sort of muttering, and then he ended up settling on 75.
Mm.
Just randomly. I think it's because he was put on the spot. He needed to say a price then.
Yeah.
And he said 75. And then Lou was just like, deal, done. Mm. And he was like, oh, wait a minute. Could I have asked for more? And Lou was just like, yep.
Yeah.
You could have. And then he drove off.
Yeah.
$75 a day. I think I worked it out. It was like $9. If you worked an 8-hour day, it was like $9 something a day, which I don't know.
$9 an hour?
$9 something an hour. Yeah. If you worked an 8-hour day, I think. If I remember.
It is US as well. It's a bit different to us.
So it's a bit different. I think it was, I don't know. I would assume he's not working full 8-hour nights every night, but he could be.
Yeah.
Or he could be working more than that. But I'd assume they're only doing like 4 or 5 hours each night, but I don't know. Who knows?
Mm.
It seemed a little bit more fair, but I don't know because of the pricing in America. I know in New Zealand, that would be, that's against the law.
That's
below minimum wage. So,
but still,
way below, and you couldn't live off of that. No way.
Yeah. But from his perspective, like he's been being paid 30 for this long. He's been homeless and jobless before that with no income. It's a big jump for him. Like,
it is a big jump.
See how he had come to it.
Yeah, so it's more than double of what he was.
Yeah.
But still not worth it. And then he starts pushing and blackmailing, well, not really blackmailing, leveraging Lou, when Lou basically asks him to start risking his life for the business.
Yeah.
At some point in the movie, Lou comes up to a house, like a mansion. He gets a call in. Well, basically, he's like listening on the cops' radio signals and stuff.
Yeah.
And he gets a call to this this area, and he gets there before any of the cops or anything. And there's this shooting going on in this mansion.
Yeah.
And it's still going on when he arrives. So he arrives, he runs out with a camera and hides in a bush and films some shots going off, and then the criminals leaving the building and jumping into a car and boosting off.
Mm.
And he records them, he gets their faces on camera and their car license plate number, and then runs inside and starts filming out the whole thing before the cops get there with their red tape.
All
and
just dead walks bodies.
Through the entire house.
Someone who's still alive.
Everything. And then, there's this one dude lying on the ground who still moves a little bit and is like still alive, and he's like still moving a little bit, but probably either unconscious or just not there properly.
Frames all these shots of like the baby's room, even though there's no baby there.
Making it like super dramatic, but also getting like full images of everyone where they were dead, and then leaves before the cops get there.
Yeah.
And then edits out the part where the criminals escape, and sells the rest of the footage to the news station, which blurs out the faces. And this is about when cops start getting suspicious.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, wait a minute. You got all this footage before we even got there.
Two detectives start coming on his case.
Yeah, they sort of made up the story that he got there before the cops did because he heard the shooting and he hid when the people left and didn't get a good look at them. And then he ran in to see if he could help anyone. And when he saw they're all dead, he started filming them.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is complete.
Yeah. And the detectives come, ask if he had any footage of anything else. And he just lies to them.
Yeah.
Just with the hopes of keeping those two criminals' faces to himself to track them down to video their later endeavors, or if they do anything else again, or if it ends out that the police offer a reward for their capture. So he stages this whole thing when he gets them to a location that will be great staging for video and would look great for his footage, and then kind of initiates this confrontation between the criminals and the police, and then he gets his friend Rick out there.
So this is also the messed up thing, because it wasn't just to do with lighting and camera angles that he was wanting. He wanted, and they mentioned this, he wanted them in a public place. Probably, one would assume, for more chaos, possibly more dead people.
Innocents murdered, yeah.
Because that's more what gets of a dramatic, the ratings,
dude.
Yeah, more of a dramatic story.
Gets people to watch the news.
Because I remember Rick had a problem. He said, I knew you wanted it. I think he said something like, I knew you wanted it in a public place, but this is a restaurant.
Yeah, there's people
that's
there.
Where they stopped. It was like, this isn't just out in public.
Yeah.
You know, this is in a restaurant where there's heaps of people sitting around and someone's bound to get injured. But it was, I think it was when they were tracking those down, tracking them down, I'm pretty sure, where Rick started demanding more money if he was going to do all this crazy stuff, which, to be honest, he should have just left.
Yeah, he should.
Any reasonable person should have just left, but he was obviously desperate for money, so you can't really blame him. If he was going to stick around, he might as well got as much money from it as possible. And I think for him to be risking his life, it's extremely, like, fair enough to be asking for 50-50 of everything, because he was risking his life for this and doing illegal stuff.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, he wanted a fair share of it. And when the guy was getting, I think he got like 1500 for, like, oh, not 1500, he got like 15 grand for his last video, the one with the mansion.
Yeah.
Got 15 grand.
Rick's getting paid 30 a night.
Yeah, and he was getting paid 30 a night before that.
Yeah.
And when you look at that numbers, and he's getting this, well, that was a big sale, but he was getting like a few hundred dollars each night for each of them, and probably a few thousand for good ones, you know, and then every now and then getting like decent amounts, and then like something like that, 15 grand. He could definitely afford to be paying Rick more.
It was understandable, like, but
Rick probably didn't even know the amount of money.
Yeah, that's it. It would have been kept secret. I just couldn't help like noticing little mirrored aspects of like things that Lou does or says kind of seemed to rub off on Rick a little bit towards the end.
Yeah, well, because the thing is that the whole way through, Lou is trying to get Rick to be more like him.
Yeah. Even like when he interviews Rick initially.
Yeah.
And we've already seen Lou kind of trying to sell himself as in an interview at the start.
Yeah.
He tells Rick to sell himself initially.
Yeah.
Kind of tells him what to say. And then Rick does this really lame way of selling himself.
Why hire you? Sell yourself. Go.
Okay. Well, I'm Rick, of course. I took 3 buses to get here. I finished high school. I need a job. I'll do pretty much anything. That's me. I hire Rick. So.
Yeah.
And Rick and Lou just smiles and says, okay, you're hired. And then the whole movie through, like, brings him up on every little mistake he makes to try and make him improve. So he's kind of...
Yeah, so it is interesting, because it does seem like Lou at first is trying to take Rick under his wing a bit. And you could kind of feel like he is in some way giving him good, valuable life lessons in some way. Like, he is teaching him to be more confident, teaching him to basically speak for himself and to be more reliable and be more communicate better and things like that. But then at the same time, Lou's like doing all these other things that are completely wrong and shouldn't be done, and it would be bad things for him to pick up on. But it is kind of interesting, because I think it makes it more, the ending a bit more dramatic, which I guess we could talk about.
Yeah, it's soon. Kind of like a twist ending.
Yeah. Have we really covered more like the slow change.
Yeah,
well, because with Rick, it wasn't just like, well, not Rick, Lou, it wasn't just like a dramatic sudden he's doing all these horrible things.
Yeah,
when he first gets his camera, he starts going around and filming anything basically that the cops are calling in.
Yeah, he just follows cops around. He sees where other Nightcrawlers are. Like he meets Bill Paxton's character Joe a few times. I think he first meets Joe and learns about night crawling
because he was just walking away from his job interview that he forced on the guy.
Yeah.
And just walking down the he was driving down the street and then he pulled over because there was a car crash, and yeah, the other Nightcrawler was there filming.
Yeah, but it just slowly grows from there. I mean, he just starts recording anything and everything, ends up getting a bit too close sometimes and having to go back. I think the first big one is when he goes into a crime scene when there had been a shooting, and there's the husband and wife in the house talking to the police outside, and he ends up going into the crime scene, going into the house and framing up all these shots of like the bullets that had just been shot in the fridge, frames the family photos next to them.
Yeah, moves all the photos up next to it so you could see the whole family and then the bullet holes in the fridge. And then like pans over to the window.
The window frames the bullet shots right next to the couple talking to the police outside.
Yeah, looking through like But because like it's interesting though, the thing is he is capable of all the things that happened in the movie, and he's probably capable of a lot more.
Yeah,
because he doesn't have any kind of moral compass. But the thing I found interesting was that everything he did, he didn't just do because he was evil. He didn't just go, he didn't necessarily like inflicting.
Yeah,
doing the things he did, you know. Which some of it wasn't like necessary. I think at the end you conclude that he's evil, basically.
Yeah.
But in the middle, you kind of feel like he's just morally, like, not in tune.
Gray, or not even morally gray, just doesn't really.
Yeah, he's obviously very sleazy and doesn't care about people. But
I think
it doesn't have any kind of empathy. But the thing that I find interesting is that at the beginning, when he first had his camera, he was filming someone getting a breath test.
Yeah.
And he was like coming up real close and stuff. And he didn't understand what it was that the news people were wanting. And so he was just responding to anything and getting recording. And then the first time he actually got footage he could sell, he arrived to a scene and there was that other Nightcrawler there again filming. Yeah. And it was a car crash. And he managed to get up real close to it and recorded, even though it was bad quality. He got it real close. He managed to, I think he sort of pushed past like the do not pass red tape everywhere and just by chance managed to get some good footage before he was turned away and told to go, basically.
Yeah,
when the other Nightcrawler also had to leave then, who was like keeping back because he knew he would get told off.
Yeah,
whereas he didn't, and he just leaned over and started trying to get as good a shots as he could and as close as he could.
That's when he finds out. Yeah.
And then he goes and tries to sell that when he finds out how to sell and who to sell to. He goes and tries to sell it and he finds out there. He asks them what kind of footage they want, and they said they want this kind of footage. They want the more guts and blood and gore, the better.
That's
and the
what
better
people for
their ratings.
Yeah.
And so he said they told him like more footage like this, please.
I mean, Nina, basically. I think she specifically says a line like, think of our station as a woman running through the street with her own throat slit or something. Just she like
running through the street screaming with her throat slit or something like that. Yeah, I think
she like tells him just graphic stuff sells, and she even like pushes to show as much of it on TV as she can. And she has to call someone and be like, "Oh, we can show this, right?" And then she has to blur faces or blur the gore sometimes.
Yeah, they got like a lawyer in or something, didn't they, for some of it?
Yeah,
but yeah, but like they tell him then if they had told him no. People in the mornings, because it was a morning show, want morning news or whatever, want to see fluffy kittens and puppies.
Yeah.
We don't want any of this violent crime stuff in the mornings. We want to see happy families and stuff like that. He would have gone out and done an absolutely awesome job finding puppies and kittens.
Yeah.
He probably still would have done immoral things to get the footage that he wanted, but he would have gone out and done that instead, and it probably would have been a completely different movie. But the thing is that he's just the sort of person who would do whatever it takes to succeed, to do his best job as he can, like, you think about doing whatever you can to do the best job you can if morals weren't an issue. Like, if morals were, if you didn't feel anything about it or anything like that, you were literally just efficiency and doing a good job. And that's what it was. He got told a task, and like a robot or anything like that. This is this is the thing. This is like iRobot kind of thing, where the robots, they were given a task to, what was it, never harm humans or something like that. So they prevented humans from harming themselves by controlling them all, basically, or something like that. Something that to that end, I think.
Yeah.
So it was like efficiency gone too far, essentially. Like doing a good job gone too far. And that's kind of like what he was like, where he just was like, oh, blood and guts. And then he started slowly getting better and better and better at finding it. And when he couldn't find it, he made it, essentially.
Well, one of the next scenes after that...
Well, he didn't
that,
make it, but like he pushed the limits.
And just about
over-dramatized things.
Well, one of the next big ones is he gets to a car crash before the police, the first time that it happens.
Yes.
And there's a body in a car.
Yeah.
And he is so excited that he's the first one there. No other night callers are around. He moves the camera around to get the best framing. And then he notices the body.
Yeah.
And even without checking if the person's all right or checking up on them, he pulls the body out of the car, frames it up nicely in the light.
Yeah, drags the body out into the into the open where he
crazy seed. Yeah.
And then gets the footage he wants and then goes.
Yeah, and I think that's the first point when you're like, oh, he's crossing lines here. Because, like, him running into the house with the first one and taking, like, taking footage of the bullets and moving the family photos, like, you know it's not good, but he's not really a monster at that point yet, or he's not really, like, this really evil
dude.
Yeah, you
can kind of think, oh, it's like, oh, he's not fully understanding what the red tape's for.
Yeah, or like, he shouldn't be doing that, it's illegal, but...
Yeah, sort of like in the previous ones where he's just getting too close, that's all he's doing. But then, with the, I think even after, actually, because that was after, that car crash was after the plane crash, eh? Where he arrived and the other Nightcrawler said he got there before anyone else, even before the emergency did. And got some amazing footage.
Yeah, so he's kind of pushed by this other Nightcrawler to try the same thing. He's, the whole time, this other Nightcrawler, Joe, is always talking about, hey, I'm going to get a second van soon. He even offers Lou a job at one point saying, hey, we're going to be efficient. We're going to have the best kit. And it ends up, the other big one that we haven't mentioned, the big crime scene that Lou takes footage of, is when he goes and he tampers with Joe's car, the other Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that Joe crashes and he comes up onto the scene, takes footage of it, gets real close to Joe, who's all injured, looking real graphic.
While the ambulance people are like putting him into the ambulance, he gets like real close.
Takes the footage and he did that.
You can start seeing it from like his perspective, don't you? You see it from Joe's perspective because he like turns, he sees this camera, and then past it you just see emotionless, you see Lou just like staring over him with his camera with the light shining in his face, just getting the footage he needs without any care at all. And you could just see the look on his face, like Joe's face, of like realizing what an absolute like crazy person this guy is. And I think you could kind of see there in his eyes as well, or maybe I'm just thinking into it much too much, but like that I felt like at that point he must be realizing that like this was Lou, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he had no way of proving it, but this was Lou. He did this.
And you see it in Lou's eyes a few times. Like, he saw it when he was looking at Lou there, but we as the audience get to see Lou's kind of, like, emotionless who he is at times when he looks into the camera, when he's being interviewed by the detectives.
Yeah.
When he's on, like, the set for the breakfast show and he sits down and, like, looks through the monitor. Some real cool scenes like that when we kind of get a look into his psyche a bit. Even the stuff at the start when he's at home alone. You see him just watering this plant. That's the only thing he really does in the whole world. Goes home, waters his plant, tapes all his footage that was shown on the news.
Watches the TV.
Watches TV.
He watches like really weird old like comedy.
He's watching like a medieval comedy and a guy gets his head chopped off in the show. And Lou just starts laughing. Like, he thinks it's the funniest thing ever, this guy getting his head chopped off.
Oh, no, because he got his head chopped off and then he, like, but it was like...
He pops back up.
His head pops back out. But it was just, like, some real, like, old B-grade comedy, I think it was. Yeah. I don't know. Actually, I don't know. That might have been a real famous movie. I shouldn't just diss it.
We're going to watch it on the show.
Maybe.
There's just some real great little moments. Can we talk about, like, Jake Gyllenhaal's performance? Yes. Amazing.
It was very good.
Wow. Like, I haven't really seen him do something like this before. I've seen a lot of Jake Gyllenhaal movies, but I guess what he's known as most at the moment would be like his, I mean, he's Mysterio in Spider-Man now, and he's in a few other big movies, but...
Yeah. There's actually some similarities between his character, Mysterio, though, when you... The bits and pieces I remember from Mysterio.
Yeah, a little bit, right?
Where, well, he was just an overly charismatic and good, and what do you call it, like, but he's just, he's that kind of person. Mm. He's more of a sleazy person than that, I guess. He's
yeah.
Just, but manipulative, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is the, I don't know. He's good at playing manipulative people.
Yeah, he is. He's been in a few other indies. There's one called Nocturnal Animals, which I really love with him, and another called Enemy. But this one, he just transforms into Lou. I was doing some reading up about the movie afterwards, and he really wanted, he took it upon himself to make Lou look like a coyote.
Okay.
It was how he saw the character. He wanted him to just look really gaunt and really thin and just doing whatever he can to survive.
I heard he lost almost a lot of weight for that.
Lost 20 pounds.
Well, a decent amount, I guess.
Yeah.
There's been crazier transformations, but like...
He worked out for up to 8 hours a day to get this appearance and cycled to and from the set. So he was just pushing his body to the limits almost to make him get this look for the character.
Yeah.
And even just to immerse himself in the role, I read that he, and same as the actor for Rick, Riz, went out with actual nightcrawlers. So people actually do this. I mean, of course, people have to take this footage to sell to the
probably
news.
Not as dodgy ones as the ones in the movie. But...
Not pushing it to the limits like these guys. But they went out multiple nights with actual nightcrawlers to kind of get a feel for what they did and adapted to it. I don't know. It's a crazy performance. He wasn't even nominated for an Oscar for this, which is
crazy.
This
seemed like the sort of movie that, like, it's like sort of under the radar, but it was probably going to be nominated for something. But it isn't.
He got heaps of awards, but it's one of the, like, most well-known snubs of movie history almost. Everyone's like, hey, he should have got the Oscar this year or at least been nominated, but he didn't.
Yeah.
But he transformed. I really liked Riz Ahmed as this, and this as well as Rick.
Yeah.
One other thing I read up on was the director, Dan Gilroy, said that he was asked about the meaning of this film, what it all means, and how he reacted to it was that it's kind of an indictment of local television news, kind of like trying to bring it to the surface of this is kind of a little bit of what goes on. He wanted to cast a wider net in the sense that everyone really watches images like this sometimes, like just the graphic nature of it all, and we do turn to channels that show a bit more graphic stuff and show more crime because we want to know it. And his idea was that he hopes that viewers might take it further after watching this movie and think to themselves, why do I watch these images? How many of these do I really want to put into my spirit? Which is really interesting because it's a dark movie.
Yeah.
And it shows all this stuff, but it's interesting to hear that his meaning for the film was to kind of
disturb you out of it, kind of
be a critique on it almost. Yeah, yeah. This is what happens. Should you really be watching stuff like this? Do you really want to be dwelling on things like this?
Yeah, I guess you could say that the real villains were the people viewing everything because they're the ones that they're the reason why the ratings go up on things that
which
are
why it was
so
pushing
us,
Nina
basically,
and
everyone else saying that, and basically the Lou is just he's just giving people what they want.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just essentially like a product of the demand, essentially. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, totally.
But he's
right.
Like, well, he's not a product of it, but he's producing what people want. Mm. And he's just, but the only difference is that he's doing whatever he can to give it to you.
Yeah.
No matter what. Whereas most other people have some kind of point, some kind of line in the sand that they don't cross.
Yeah. He doesn't have one.
So yeah, I guess if you want to look at the deeper meaning or the deeper, like, lesson, and that is just is that we're all the bad guys in this movie.
Yeah. I mean, he was only exactly what you're saying, filling a need, found something he was good at that people needed.
Yeah.
Did it to the extreme. But let's talk about the last scene.
I don't watch local news, by the way.
Yeah, neither do I.
I read it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't watch it. That's
interesting.
It is true though. Like you're looking at news and even just reading articles and stuff, and I'm more likely to read something if it's not if it's graphic necessarily, but like definitely that's not really the thing that I find anyway. That it's more just like bad news.
Yeah.
You read it and it's, and even though you don't want to hear bad news, it's more likely to get you.
Yeah.
And like, you know, a car crash near you, you're going to end up, I'm going to at least click on it and have a look to see if they know who it was or anything like that. Whereas if you go like, oh, I don't know, like
puppies.
Just some good news. Yeah, puppies. You're not going to read that.
No. I mean, even the point in this when they had to put like viewer discretion is advised for the graphic images before.
Yeah.
Like something like that in a news broadcast will probably make me want to look at it.
Yeah.
Please be advised, graphic images are shown. Like that's...
Well, let's say if two things were showing up on the news at the same time, one was on one station, one was the other, and one was like a new hospital was built.
Yeah.
And like a part of, or a town or a place that really desperately needed it.
Mm-hmm.
New hospital was built, or this bomb blew up, I don't know, a bank or something, just to make it generic. Yeah.
Images of the explosion and remains. We've got someone on the site.
But, you know, something blew up in town, in a city near you, or even in, maybe in the same city as you, or something like that. But they're both relevant to you, and they're both near you, and you, which one are you, which station are you going to click to?
Yeah.
If they're happening at the same time, you're more likely to flick. I think there's not a lot of, I wouldn't blame anyone for flicking to the, because especially because you're like, oh, I want to know if anyone got hurt. You know, you flick over to that, but that's what's going to take your time. That's the bad news. But I guess on a different note, maybe if it was just like a really graphic, bad crash, and they're showing you footage of that. Again, I feel like a lot of people would be like, oh, I'll learn about the hospital later. I'll flick over to this. There is definitely a lot of truth to it.
Yeah.
What I'm saying.
There's even a point in the movie when there's that huge shooting at the house. They find out later on that it was actually a drug bust, or there was drugs there and they were just killing the people for the drugs, to get the drugs back, or for revenge on the drugs. They do not even mention revenge on the drugs. I don't know, something to do with drugs, but
it was something to do with drugs, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was like some kind of gang or like cartel kind of situation.
Gang related,
I don't know, something like that,
or something back.
But that wasn't the story that they were throwing this towards, like the story that they had been sort of putting out there was, what was it again? It was like
there's murders happening in your neighborhood. These people are still out there. They could be near you, and they're really pushing this. Look out! These guys are out there.
More murders, and that's right, because some of the other footage that he'd been bringing in that they've been paying him more for was footage found of what was it? It was like essentially like car theft. People breaking into people's cars and killing, shooting people, steal their cars and shoot off, like you drive off with it, and. And it was like their story was essentially that it was creeping closer and closer to like, it's not just out in poorer, more like, for want of a better word, dodgier kind of neighborhoods or streets or stuff. It's coming into the nice streets, and that's what the, you know, it's coming into the more like, I don't know, wealthy, you know, streets, or just not in the main city. It's like it's out here in the suburban. Is that the term?
Yeah, I think suburban.
Yeah, it's like it's out in these like nicer areas, and it's like that's the story that they were kind of spinning
just the
on
fact
it?
They do not mention the drug stuff, and they just want to get more and more from the story and tie fear into people so that they'll watch for updates at all hours of the day, get more viewership, be worrying about these killers out there, watch the news.
Yeah, well, when the guy came in and said, "Hey." To the
that guy was a cool character, by the way. He was always like, what are we doing? This is graphic, we shouldn't be doing this.
But he came into the news station and he was just like, well, they've just found out that it was like a drug bust, essentially. It was to do with drugs. It's not random killings or crime. It's seeping, or murderers just coming in seeping. They're murderers, but they're not, it's not like they're coming in to rob people and murder them. It was this place specifically for a specific reason. And she basically just yelled at him that wasn't the story. And just basically told him off for bringing it in. It's like, that's not the story. That's not what's giving us the ratings. So we're not going to tell that.
Yeah.
So at that point, they lose their credibility as a news station.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can kind of see that he is. Lou is like a nasty character, and he outshines a lot of the others. at a closer inspection, you do realize that there is a lot more
everyone's real seedy
in this movie than just him. And he's just kind of, he's almost just, in some ways, he's almost just a sponge. He just absorbs everything around him. He is just giving people what they asked him for and what they're wanting. But he's just doing a bit more than they thought that he was going to do.
Can we talk about this? We need to wrap this up and talk about the end.
Talk about the ending, yeah.
Real quick, can we talk about his company name he comes up with? It's a catchy name for his company. It's Video Production News.
Video Production.
What a genius name.
It's so funny. It's easy to remember.
Oh, he's taking videos.
Because afterwards, you see he has his logo is just VPN. It's not Video Production News. But yes, it is a very...
It takes a genius to come up with it.
He doesn't seem the most, like, creative.
No, I guess. Not at all. It's probably what his self-help and, like, courses he did taught him. Like, come up with something simple, tell people what they want to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the ending of the movie, there's this big shootout at a diner or a restaurant. He gets Rick to get out of the car and take more footage. And Rick's really cautious of the whole situation, runs back to the car at one point when it's getting a bit out of hand, and there's this huge kind of car chase scene when they're right behind the police who are following this criminal in their car. The police cars are getting totaled left, right, and center, and Rick's telling Lou to slow down, they need to back off, and Lou just is right up behind the criminal almost. And a police car and the killer end up crashing, both cars get totaled, and Lou goes out to get some footage, checks on the criminal's body, and then tells Rick it's all safe, get some close-ups of him.
Yeah, he said it's all safe, he's dead.
Yeah.
Well, he just said he's dead, it's okay.
He's dead, come on, nothing to worry about. So Rick gets out, goes up close to the camera, and realizes that the guy's still alive. Lou knew that he was still alive.
Lou actually goes over behind, sort of, kind of part behind the police car, and you don't really notice until Rick comes up, and then he sort of steps up and starts filming, and he sees the criminal sort of climbing out a little bit, and the criminal looks up at him and then just
shoots him
basically. You can kind of see that the criminal's a bit dazed, and he kind of, like, he's getting out, and then he's just like, there's someone in front of me holding something up looking at me or filming me, and he just shoots him.
And then
gets up, and he sees Lou standing over filming the whole thing from behind.
Yeah, but then the police show up.
Sort of half covered by the police car, and he's sort of looking at him. And then the criminal sort of looks at him a bit for a little while. I think he was probably confused at that point.
Yeah, he would be.
Probably,
right?
Very much so. But, like, also, I don't know. It was kind of this thing of, like, I also wonder if he kind of realized what was happening there. Like, the guy just watched his partner die. Mm. Like, they're both holding big cameras filming him, and he's not reacting. He's just still filming. So it was almost just like the guy was just like, okay, and then, you know, carried on walking off.
Crazy.
It's kind of an interesting thing. Like, it was just like, you know, it was almost just like a shrugging it off. Like, okay, whatever. You know?
Yeah. I forgot that this happened.
When you suggested it?
Yeah. That this happened in the movie, that he ends up betraying Rick.
Yeah.
He ends up, I guess, after the guys run off, he gets up close, takes footage of Rick, just like he did of the other Nightcrawler Joe.
The police actually kill the criminal. They pull up and...
Oh, that's right.
They shoot.
And then Lou just gets the footage, goes straight to the news.
Yeah, he goes up close. But they have a dialogue there a bit, hey, where they start talking.
You saw him.
I can't jeopardize my company's success to retain an untrustworthy employee.
You're crazy.
You took my bargaining power, Rick. You used it against me. You would have done it again. Just admit it.
I don't know.
I know.
Did you see it coming?
No. I didn't. And I found it very... I don't know. I think that was... That's not where it ended.
Yeah.
It ended with the cops not being able to figure out it was him, but one of the detectives basically knowing it was him, but having no proof and getting really angry.
And then it ends with you seeing Lou's got a whole business now.
And he's got two vans, cars. Two vans and like three other interns. He called them interns. Yeah. Again, and he said that they were gonna, like, basically the same deal was with Rick. He was just like, oh, you know, when you are able to prove yourself to me or whatever, you might get yourself a good position in the company or whatever. It always makes the company sound way bigger than it actually is.
Yeah.
So he's got these two interns, two vans, like, they're doing a whole crew's worth of, you know, that kind of stuff.
He got the idea from the other Nightcrawler Joe. Yeah, they're doing it for free. He's getting so much money. And you just, it just ends with you seeing these vans kind of going out and infecting the city. I love that
last line, though, where he said, and remember, I wouldn't ask you to do anything that I wouldn't do.
Yeah, yeah.
This is like the one little last little line before he finished and he jumped in the van with them. They headed off.
Yeah.
It's just like, if only they knew, like, they're thinking, oh, yeah. That's reasonable.
Oh.
But he's willing to do so much.
We've seen everything that he's willing to do. Can we, oh, the music in this as well, like the track that plays in the credits.
Yeah.
Just the music throughout this, like, really good soundtrack. Yeah. Oh my goodness. I really enjoyed revisiting this.
Yeah. What are we rating this? How are we, what's our rating system here?
What we've done just for all of other stuff up to now, if it's just rated it out of 5.
Out of 5?
Yeah.
I thought I rated it out of 7 once.
That was, we threw that idea to the wayside. You wanted to do bunches of bananas and we just chucked it away because it was trash. We were doing
all of our ratings since then, like 7.
Didn't happen. No. You're misremembering things.
I don't like rating things out of 5, especially when you're rating things over a long, like rating a lot of movies.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
well, what are we doing then? This is our time now to figure out. Because should you do it out of 100?
I kind of feel like maybe, because the thing is that you can't, because you always go like, oh, out of 5, you always go end up going halves and things like that, and then you're like, oh, well, actually, this movie's not a 5, but it's better than the other movie that was a 3.5 or something, but then it's not as good as the movie that was a 4, and so you start like losing space to put movies, and you end up rating movies very similar to other movies where they were actually quite different in quality.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So I prefer the out of 100, or at least out of 10.
Okay, let's do out of 10.
You reckon out
of
10?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same as out of 5.
I want to hear what yours is first.
I am going to give this a 10 out of 10.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't expect you to think the same, but I don't know. I just really, I really love this movie. And it's dark, and I know it's not for everyone. But that's kind of the point. And just,
okay.
It just enthralls me into it. The character is so good, even though he's so bad. Like, Jake Gyllenhaal's amazing. The just interactions and how it shows this crazy world that's not too dissimilar from our own, and just kind of the slight little messages and the slight things you pick up on and the situations, the tension with a lot of the situations, especially that house when he goes in after the criminals and he's walking through and you see the police sirens.
Very tense scene.
You think he's going to get caught. You got Rick running out trying to warn him. It's just really, wow. Like, yeah, I love it. And I know it's not for everyone. And I said it before, but it kind of does just feel like a monster movie for me. Like, it's just this villain.
It definitely feels like it has horror aspects.
Yeah, like we're watching an origin story for this villain or this real terrible dude. And I think it just does it in a really, really, really great and genius way.
Yeah.
Yeah. 10 out of 10.
Now, I do think that this movie, they've done a really good job with it. Okay. Mm. But then again, serious, depressing movies.
Yeah.
With these kind of like, it's set mostly in night with kind of a slow pacing, with a lot of the time because there's a lot of emotions, a lot of things to think about in the movie, it makes them feel like a better movie, I guess. I guess is what I'm trying to say. So it's like, I don't know. I understand some of the aspects to it that make it feel like it should be more highly rated than it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a similar thing to, we talked about The Pig, eh?
Yeah, we talked about Pig.
It's another movie where it's just like, I could tell that, like, based off of, like, the slow, I don't know, just the style of it and everything they were doing, the slow pacing of everything and stuff like that. You could tell that they were going for a movie that wasn't going to be some big blockbuster, but was going to win them awards. And it could kind of feel the same with this. They were going quite, they were almost being artsy.
It's very much like an artsy, like, made for a specific audience. The mainstream.
And it definitely felt like they were going for an award. They wanted an award. That was the kind of feeling from it.
Mm.
But, like, all that in mind, I still think they did, you know, even with realizing that, like, I do think, honestly, they did a very good job with it.
Yeah.
I think that the character was unlikable and the story was depressing and dark and didn't leave you hopeful at the end and rather left you worrying about the other interns that he had.
Yeah.
And overall, you sort of left, I left the movie being like, wow, why did I watch that?
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I can't say that it wasn't good.
Yeah.
It wasn't done well. So if I was to say, if I was to give it a rating based off of the quality, I'd give it between a 7, I'd either go 7.5 or an 8. I would probably go 8. I think 8. Okay. I'll lock it in at 8.
Yeah.
My first thought was 7.5 for some reason, but I'm like, I don't need to go 0.5 yet. But also, yeah, I think it was very good. It was very well done. But then on whether or not it was a movie I would recommend to people, rated on my, basically my overall enjoyment of the movie, I'd rate it like a 6.
Yeah. That's fair.
And yeah, so ignore the last rating. It is an 8. I rated it as an 8.
But you're rating this as an 8, but...
For the podcast, but personally, on whether or not, like, on my enjoyment level, it's a 6.
Yeah,
out of 10. So.
Well, I mean, you're definitely right. It's not something I'd recommend to everyone. It's not like a mainstream audience movie.
Yeah, definitely not. But I think the thing is that mainstream audience movies get reviewed a lot.
Yeah.
It's good to review them occasionally, but I think I much prefer either reviewing old movies that people have either forgotten about or newer movies that haven't gotten the recognition that they kind of deserve. And I feel like this one is one of those movies. It hasn't gotten the recognition.
Yeah, you don't hear about it a lot.
Yeah.
I think it's worth watching, but definitely if it's not your thing, it's probably not your thing. Yeah, I was very interested to hear what you thought about this. So.
Yeah.
I'm glad you did enjoy it.
I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I thought it was good. I didn't not enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I did end the movie being like, this was horrible. This just made me feel bad, you know?
Yeah. Which is kind of how I felt as
like
well.
And like halfway through the movie being like, why did he think I was going to want to watch this?
Well, I'm glad we could have a good conversation. Like,
I'm glad I watched it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm glad I watched it. I'm glad it got put up. But I do think, I do feel like now, like, I don't know, the artist has, from memory, had a much more hopeful ending.
Yeah.
If people were keen, I reckon we add it to a list.
Yeah, let's put it on a
some point. We put it up for a vote to see which movies out of the list people want us to review.
I like it. We could do that on our whenever we get a third release in a month instead of two or something like that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
There we go. Could be the little underdogs. But yeah, that was Nightcrawler. Thanks for listening, everyone. Let us know what you thought about the movie if you watched along with us or if you've seen it before. You can leave us a voice message in the link in our show notes, or you can just message us on any of our social medias.
Yeah, well, if you message us and we can read that out as well.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
if you're too nervous to or just don't really feel like putting in a voice message.
Yeah. Hamish has come up with the next theme. For March, our March theme, he's going to be tackling a mystery or a story or something. I have no clue what it is. But what was the theme that you settled on?
The theme is open ocean.
Open ocean.
Now, don't ask me how I settled on that.
Okay.
And, don't look too much into it. I don't want you to be theorizing what I'm going to be doing and I'm getting disappointed.
I'm excited for it. And we thought we'd change it up and actually announce both of our movie picks now as well, so that you guys can vote in the weeks to come, and then we can actually settle and announce what movie we're watching when Hamish talks about the mystery.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll go first. You went first last time. I chose a movie that I've never seen. I have heard a lot of good things about and have been meaning to watch it for a long time, but
haven't.
I'm really
worried it's the same one as I picked.
I'm interested to see, but I am choosing The Abyss.
Oh.
From 1989, directed by James Cameron of Avatar, Aliens fame.
I don't think I've ever heard of this movie.
You've never, I have no clue what it's about, but it's been recommended so many times. Stars Ed Harris, hey. Michael Biehn, he's also from Aliens.
I'm guessing The Abyss is talking about the ocean.
Yeah, so I've got a little synopsis for it here. When an American submarine sinks in the Caribbean, a U.S. search and recovery team works with an oil platform crew racing against Soviet vessels to recover the boat. Deep in the ocean, they encounter something unexpected.
Ooh.
It's supposed to be a classic directed by James Cameron, who is a phenomenal director. I do not know why I haven't seen The Abyss. 80s. It's probably something I'm going to love, but I haven't gotten around to it. So I thought this might be a good excuse to get around to watching it. So if that's your thing, vote for The Abyss for us to watch in March sometime. What was your movie?
So I won't say the name of the movie. I think everyone would recognize it straight away. But I'll read out the synopsis and see if you can figure it out.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, so okay. This movie came out in 1954. So this is an old movie. This is a remake from what I could see. I think there was some from like 1907.
Are you kidding me?
And I think there was like one a little bit earlier than that, possibly. I'm not sure. I just saw them show up on Letterboxd. I have to go back to it because it's pretty ridiculous. Anyway, 1954. It's in color.
Okay.
Just so you know, directed by Richard Fleischer.
Name means nothing to me.
Okay. A ship sent to investigate a wave of mysterious sinkings encounters the advanced submarine, the Nautilus, commanded by Captain Nemo.
Are we watching 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
I've never seen this movie. It's a classic.
1954 one. I have seen it.
Okay.
But I haven't seen it in years, and I'd love to see it again.
All right. Yeah. So 1954's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, or James Cameron's The Abyss.
Starring Kirk Douglas.
Oh, he's a...
Yeah.
Man.
I don't really... Paul Lucas sounds a bit familiar.
Huh.
Peter Law, Ted DiCorsio. Okay, so not many of these I would recognize. James Mason, I think.
No clue.
I don't recognize him. Okay, well, Kirk Douglas. Kirk Douglas is. So, yeah. And look at that. There's a picture of him with a seal on the front.
He's just smiling as the seal's smooching his nose. That's nice.
Now, well, if I know anything about our audience, they're not going to vote for it.
Well, who knows? Yeah, so vote for whatever you guys want, 20,000 Leagues or The Abyss. It actually worked real well last time, how we did the voting. So after this episode comes out, which will be on Friday, we'll have some polls up on our Instagram, and I'll do that a couple times throughout the week, Instagram and Twitter, and you can vote for whoever you want, and then... It also
you're voting for one of us. You're not voting for the movie.
We take this personally. We've got a tally system between us. But then also Spotify has the poll there. So as soon as you finish listening to the episode on Spotify, you can scroll down or click into the show notes and you can vote right there for what movie you want to watch next month.
Yeah.
That's Coletania, guys. February broadcast.
The Abyss.
Right? The Abyss.
That's your one.
Yeah. 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. That's your one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm quite happy with this selection. Last time I was like, ooh, Nightcrawler. I have no idea what that's going to be like. But like, I don't know. I feel like The Abyss, both of these, like I feel fairly confident that I'm going to enjoy whichever one.
Yeah, me too. So it should be.
Yeah.
It should be cool. But thanks so much, everyone, for listening. Thank you again to everyone who has rated us or reviewed us on iTunes or Spotify. I saw we got a few in from our last episode, a few star ratings, which we really appreciate.
Yeah.
But yeah, until next time, see you next month. Open Ocean.